Thank you, Dr. Kenny. As I've said many, many times, it would be superfluous for me to say that I'm glad to be here. Because at my age, I'm glad to be anywhere in the world, okay? But it is a thrill to be here. I think it was 33 years ago over at Fairfax Baptist Temple where I met Dr. Lou Baldwin and his wife, Jeanette. And God knitted our hearts together that night. And they have been some of the closest friends that we have ever had in our life. And I have watched Michael when he was a little boy, if he was ever little, okay? And Kenny from the time they were kids and so forth. And it has been just one of the joys of my life to see the development of the Crossroads Baptist Church, the beginning of COBA, and just some great things I believe have already happened. But I do believe from the depth of my heart, with a bunch of good-looking millennials like we've got tonight, the best is yet to come, amen? And wouldn't it be great if a whole bunch of them would start a brand new movement and just flood the mission field with black Americans and that are serving God all over the world. That's been one of Pastor Baldwin's, and I'm sure Dr. Kenny's desires and my desire, and I trust that it will happen. It is always a joy to be here at Lancaster, and I'm sorry. It is a joy to be at Lancaster when I'm at Lancaster, in case anybody from Lancaster is looking, okay? But it's a great joy to be here at Crossroads, okay? And I do desperately miss my wife, okay? And I do not believe that any time in my life that I have sensed the prayers of God's people more than I have in the last year and a half. And on July the 8th, she breathed her last breath here on this earth and her first breath of celestial air. Prior to that, on June the 7th, we had celebrated our 65th wedding anniversary. And she is enjoying heaven, but I'm having a hard time, okay? She left a big hole in my life. But I've never hoped that I could die, but heaven has seemed a whole lot sweeter, okay? And for many months, my goal was, dear Lord, keep me strong enough to take care of Virginia until you take her home. And after that, my whole prayer is become, dear Lord, let me live till I die. Okay? And that's what I mean, to really live, okay? So as long as I can live and be used of God, I'll appreciate it. I think I'm supposed to preach about finishing strong. I'm not sure I have, okay? I was in a conference in Texas several years ago. I don't know why. Back in those days, I was only in my 70s. I was young, okay? But anyway, the conference was Running Your Race. And when the preacher introduced me, he said, now, Dr. Sisk has run his race. So I looked around and said, I must be dead, okay? Because as Yogi Berra said, it ain't over till it's over, amen? Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'll begin reading with verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I think we can say that day has come, okay? And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables, but watch thou in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. Now, turn your Bibles back quickly, if you would, to the Gospel of John, and John chapter 19. John chapter 19, we're just going to read one verse from John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, say it with me, it is finished. And he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. Dear Lord, thank you for your word, the infallible, inspired, and errant word of God. Bless your word as I try to preach it tonight, and we'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Finishing strong, and I think I might have been given this title because of my age, okay? Finishing strong, because evidently Dr. Mike thought I'm just about finished, okay? But the thing about it is, we, and you look at me and you say, yeah, brother, sis, you're about finished, okay? 85 years old, I'll admit, it won't be long, okay? That's okay. But in reality, none of us know when we're going to be finished. You go to the graveyard, it's not just old people that died. All ages of people died. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, Peter makes this statement, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch and pray. Watch unto prayer. Okay? In other words, listen what Peter's saying. The end of all things is at hand. Now, Peter knew a lot about prophecy, so he could have been thinking Jesus may come at any time, and he may. And when he does, it'll be all over. We'll all be finished. Amen. Now, I do not have any insight on when the Lord is coming. I think he's coming soon, but so did Paul. Okay? So the second coming of the Lord may not be immediate, but it is imminent. It could happen at any moment. So Peter is saying, okay, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. In other words, watch your ministry. So the Lord could come at any time. And then any of us could die at any time. Listen to a statement that David made in 1 Samuel chapter 20. He and Jonathan were talking together, and Jonathan did not believe that his dad was going to try to kill David. And David evidently had some insight, and he knew it. And David sware him over and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved, but truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. In other words, David's saying, my next step may be my last step. And one day, all of us will take our last step. One day, all of us will preach our last sermon. We'll teach our last Sunday school class. We'll sing our last song. Whatever we may do for the Lord, one day we'll do that, and it will all be over. Being faithful to the end. Jesus said, "It is finished." In the Greek, that is one word. Tetelestai. It is finished. It is an accounting term, meaning paid in full. It is a term that an artist would use when he has finished the painting, put the final touch on it, and back away from it and say, Tetelestai. It is something that when a mortgage is paid off, the stamp is put on there, Tetelestai. Would you not like to see that on your mortgage next month? It's finished. It's finished. When Jesus uttered these words, it meant the price of redemption has been paid. Think about it. Jesus lived his life in the shadow of the cross. He did many things, but the one thing that was absolute necessary was that he suffer and bleed on Calvary's tree. By the way, God's wonderful salvation is not an afterthought. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received from your tradition, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot and without sprinkle, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Think about it. Before there was a world, before there was a man, before man sinned, Jesus was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. I don't think I have to tell you this, but God wasn't shocked when man sinned. When Adam and Eve sinned, God didn't scratch his head and say, "Good night, what are we going to do now?" I like what the old preacher said. "Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to him?" Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. His blood was the price for our redemption. His blood was the price for our reconciliation. We as mankind became sinful in Adam, and since that time, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are alienated and enemies of God, and we are reconciled by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we are ambassadors for Christ, and we pray in Christ's stead, "Be ye reconciled to God." That's our message. Jesus living in the shadow of the cross. He became our propitiation. And the word propitiation means the sacrifice that pleased God. A holy, righteous God had holy anger because of sin. And thank God, Jesus paid that price. And aren't you glad that in 1 John, it says, "And he is the propitiation for our sins." In other words, he's the sacrifice that pleased God for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Don't let anybody tell you he only died for a certain number of people. He died for the sins of the world. This is a faithful saying and worthy of acceptation that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. Any of them, all of them, if they would believe. He is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Potentially, He is the Savior of all men. And we can go to any man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of the earth, anywhere, and say without any shadow of a doubt, God loves you, Jesus died for you, and if you'll trust Him, you can be saved from all your sins. I love many of the statements that Jesus made. He said, it's finished. But listen to His first recorded words. Wished you not that I must be about my Father's business? He was just 12 years old then, okay? But, hey, I've got to be about my Father's business. Then we hear Him say, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. The disciples are saying, come on, eat something, eat something, eat something. He said, I've already eaten something. I've been satisfied. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. He said on another occasion, I must work the work of Him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh when no man can work. He said on another occasion, I do always those things that please Him. Oh, don't we wish we could say that at the end of our life? So He could come to the end of His life and say, I do always those things that please Him. Listen to Him as He says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now remember, He was God, as much God as if He had not been man. But He was man, as much man as if He had not been God. He was the impeccable Son of God. And can you hear Him as He cries, Father, if it be possible for mankind to be saved any other way, let this cup pass from me. And He was not just thinking about the physical suffering, but He was thinking about the fact that all of the sins of the world would be placed upon Him, and He would become sin, and God the Father would turn His back upon Him. But then you hear Him, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And then He said, Te Telesta. Say it again with me. It is finished. Once again, all together. It is finished. I have done everything that needs to be done in order for mankind to be saved. And then He says to us, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Thank God He didn't say, I'm finished. Okay. He wasn't finished. They took His body down from that cross. They put it in the tomb. But thank God death could not hold Him. And when the women went out on Sunday morning to look for the body, the angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Go see the place where He used to be laying. He's not there anymore. Our leader, our whatever you call the people that takes the people in the Holy Land around. What do you call those people? Guides. Okay, guide. I've got it in my mind, but my computer's just about dead, okay? But our guide on one occasion, he was saying, we were at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And he said, there is a controversy whether this is the tomb where Jesus was buried or is it at the garden tomb? And of course, all of us that know anything know it was at the garden tomb, okay? But then he said, but it really doesn't make any difference because he's not there. That's a Jewish leader, okay? Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished. In other words, I've done everything my Father sent me to do. Wow. How can you do that? How can you come to the end of your life and finish the way God wants us to finish? The Apostle Paul tells us how. Turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, and about all I have time to do is just go over some things that you know real well, and you might not learn a whole lot, but you'll listen anyway, okay? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul tells us how we can finish strong, how we can finish well. I called a good friend of mine a few days ago, Dr. Ed Nelson. He pastored for many, many years South Sheridan Baptist Church in Denver. And after he was 75 years old, he started a church in Tucson, Arizona. 75 years old. He's 95 years old now. And I called him. We reminisced about some things and so forth. And then before I finished and before the conversation was over, and we talked for about half an hour, he's just 95 years old, but still got a very clear mind. But the last thing he said was, he said, hey, Don, let's pray that we can finish strong. Wow. Let's pray we can finish strong. We better finish strong. I'll never forget when I started pastoring a big city church. The name of the town was Silent Run. It was a suburb of Rabbit Ridge, Kentucky, okay? I mean, there's nothing there. The graveyard, you know, and that's about it. The strip mines had taken all the houses away and so forth. But there was a church out there in a little place called Silent Run. But it was a place to preach, and I thank God for it. I was called to preach on November the 24th, 1954. 1956, in February, I became pastor of that church. I don't know why, but I did, okay? I didn't know enough to pastor, but they didn't know enough either, so hey, we were in. And I don't know how long it had been, but one Sunday morning, I was shaking hands with the people as they came out, and a little boy, probably 8 or 9 years old, something like that, his name was Anthony. But he had on a white shirt and a bow tie. And when he shook my hand, I said to him, I said, Anthony, you really look sharp today. And his mother said, Brother Don, yesterday we were at the downtown Madisonville and we were shopping. And Anthony saw that white shirt and bow tie. It was all in a box like they used to make them. So. And he came over to me and he said, Mama, would you buy me that shirt? And she thought, why do you want a white shirt and a bow tie, Anthony? And he said, Brother Don always wears a white shirt and a bow tie. And when I get big, I want to be like Brother Don. And that brought conviction to my heart. And after lunch that day, I went down by the barn, and I remember getting on my knees and praying, Dear God, if little boys want to be like Brother Don, please make Brother Don the kind of man that little boys ought to be. We can't afford to mess up. There's too many people that's watching you. There's too much harm that has been done. We need to finish strong. One other occasion, I was in Mansfield Baptist Temple a few years ago. And this fellow was a big, tall fellow. And I knew him when he was just a kid. I made friends with a lot of people when they were little kids. So when they get big, they become pastors and they give me good offerings and so forth, okay? So, I preached for Al's dad, Roy Humble, many times up in Michigan, but I'd play basketball with Al, and we had a good time together. And Al was then on staff at Mansfield Baptist Temple. And I finished preaching on Sunday morning, and he took Virginia and I out to lunch. And after lunch, he followed me all the way out to the car, and he was a big, tall fella. He draped me, put his arms around me like that. And he began to weep. And he said, "Brother Don, please don't mess up." You know why he said that? One of his heroes that used to preach with me there in his dad's church had messed up royally, morally. And here he is saying, "Don't mess up." Here's what he said: "We need you." Could I say, "Don't mess up"? Don't mess up. Don't mess up. Don't mess up. Don't mess up. Or you say, "Brother Don, you don't have to worry about me." If you got that attitude, you better worry. If any man think that he standeth, let him take heed lest he also fall. We all have clay feet. Any of us can fall. Paul, tell us, how can we finish strong? He said, "Okay, I've written something to a young man. And I've told him how to finish strong. And this is the way you do it. Look at it." He said, "Number one, I want you to realize that you're working for God's approval. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Remember, Jesus is watching you. I read a story some time ago about a man that became pastor of a church, and the former pastor had been there for many, many years, and the young preacher took over, and he said, the older preacher preached out a lot, but occasionally he would be there in the church. And he said, every time he was there, I could not help but think, I wonder what he thought about the sermon. And then he said, one night I was walking home to the parsonage after the service, and I was thinking that, and all of a sudden I thought, wait a minute. There's something a lot more important than that. I wonder what God thought about that sermon. Hey, preachers, we ought to preach as an audience to one. A whole lot more important than what some preacher, what some theologian, what some homiletician, a whole lot more important than what they would think about my sermon is what would he think about my sermon? Because in reality, I am answerable to him. So he reminds them of who is watching them. And then he urges them to just stay with the word of God. Preach the word. I was ordained in 1956. And I don't remember much that Brother John Robinson said that day, but I'll never forget him pointing his finger at me and saying, "Don, preach the word." And then he said, "If it's new, it isn't true. And if it's true, it isn't new. Preach the word." Hey, I've got news for you. The word of God still is the power of God. Preach the word. Be instant in season. When they like it, preach the word. When they don't like it, preach the word. Reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering. In other words, just keep preaching the word. How do you finish strong? You finish strong the way you start. By the way, one of the reasons a lot of people do not finish It's because they did not really get in it to stay in it. They thought they'd tried for a while, and if it worked, okay, and if it didn't, forget about it. If you want to finish strong, then you ought to be determined, by the grace of God, I'll stay in it. 21-year-old, I came forward. Durwood Hummel dealt with me. Brother Hart, I couldn't think when you, about well, what you preached tonight about grace. And I said, Brother Hummel, I know God has called me to be a preacher. But I don't know how in the world I can be a preacher. And he said, Don, how did you get saved? Well, that's pretty simple. I said, I got saved by the grace of God. He said, okay, if you ever preach, you'll have to preach by the grace of God. And that was good advice in 1954, and that's good advice in 2018 or whatever year this is, okay? And that night when I made my commitment to preach, I said this. Now, I was dumb, okay, but I was sincere. I said, I'm going to be a preacher if I just have to drink water and eat bread the rest of my life. Now, that was dumb. I heard Dr. Cadle years ago at Cadle Tabernacle tell about there's a young man down at the altar praying, and he'd give his life to the Lord, and he said, Lord, I want to be a preacher even if I just have to eat bologna the rest of my life. Dr. Cadle said, I went over and tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, son, that's a dumb prayer. He said, God didn't say he had a bologna factory. He said he owned the cattle of 1,000 hills. He said, don't pray for bologna, pray for steak. I used that illustration in Japan one time. And a young preacher began to pray for a steak. God laid it on my heart to buy it for him. And you can't buy a steak in Japan for less than $50. I put that out of my illustrations immediately for Japan. I didn't know much. But I knew I was in it to stay. Get in it to stay. Preach the word. Then he began to warn them, and he said, now the time's going to come. Well, they're not in. They won't listen to sound doctrine. They won't listen to hard preaching and so forth. But he said, that's okay. You just keep on preaching anyway, amen? I've heard of churches, some people, and when they want to plant a church, they go out in the community and they find out what kind of a church the people would like. And then they start that kind of church. Hey, what they like is not what they need, okay? I actually saw this sign out in California. Some people had split out of our church, okay? And they was advertising their new church. Come to our church. There are no do's and no don'ts. And I thought, well, wonder what Bible they use, amen? I mean, there's several do's and several don'ts in the Bible, amen? And so he warned them that, you know, that those times had come, and they have, all right? Then notice, look in verse 5. But watch thou in all things. Watch. Watch thou in all things. Watch what you look at. You know the old saying about the computer, garbage in, garbage out. You can't look at and listen to bad things and think good thoughts and do good deeds, okay? Watch what you look at. Watch what you read. Watch with whom you fellowship. Watch what you listen to. Watch. Guard it. Think about it. Contemplate it. Don't just Take everything that comes out there. Watch. Watch. And then he pleads with him. He says, endure affliction. How are you going to finish strong? You're going to have some affliction. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. You're going to have some affliction. You know, a lot of people give up. They quit just because somebody don't like them or somebody says something bad about them or, you know, they don't pay them enough money or they don't do this and so on. For endure affliction. You know, there's one verse. Every time I read it, I kind of chuckle. 1 Corinthians 4. Paul said, for these light afflictions, which are just for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. These light afflictions. Okay, Paul, how light were they? Well, I was scourged 5 times. Beaten, 39 stripes, 5 times with a cat of nine tails. Many people died when they were beaten 1 time like that. I was shipwrecked. I was stoned. Now, that didn't mean he got drunk, okay? That meant they took stones and threw at him. They thought they killed him. Okay. I was stoned. I was beaten with rods. I mean, you know, you could go on and on and on and on. And yet he said, for these light afflictions, which are just for a moment. Hey, wait a minute. Endure affliction. They're going to come, but that's okay. God has promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he's not going to let anything come to you that it does not come from him or through him. You are his precious people. Endure affliction. Don't be like a wimp and just wimp out every time somebody gets mad at you or something. Just do it, okay? Endure affliction. And then he said, do the work of an evangelist. I saw a good cartoon not long ago. It had two women sitting in a sandbox. And what had happened was this. A little boy had coaxed his mother and grandmother into sitting in the sandbox with him. And they were playing around with the little boy for a while. And then they got into a conversation. Okay? And the little boy got out of the sandbox and was playing in the backyard. But the mother and the grandmother were sitting there in the sandbox. And somebody came by and said, isn't it strange, two adult women playing in a sandbox? And they looked around and the little boy wasn't there. You know what? They had forgotten why they were in the sandbox. I fear that sometimes we might forget why we're in the ministry. Do the work of an evangelist. You say, I'm not an evangelist. I'm a pastor. I'm a missionary. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a choir director. No, no, no. It doesn't matter who you are. Do the work of an evangelist. Amen. But you shall receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. By the way, soul winning, evangelism, is the responsibility of every born-again child of God. Come after me, and I'll make you to become what? Fishers of men. And if you're not fishing for men, you're disobedient to God. Do the work of an evangelist. And then he said, make full proof of thy ministry. In other words, do everything that God has called you to do. Now, that doesn't mean you have to do everything. But it means you to do everything that God has called you to do. And could I say to you as pastors, every opportunity is not a responsibility. Make full proof of your ministry. You take care of the ministry that God has given to you. In other words, do the very best that you can to be all that you can for the glory of God. Let me close. You say good. But not quite, okay? But let's listen to Paul's victorious departure address. I'll just read it. I fought a good fight. See, he told Timothy how to do it. Now he said, now here's the way I did it. I fought a good fight. There's some battles that we have to fight, fellas. Ladies, there's some battles we have to fight. Now, fighting is not my main thing, okay? I'm not looking for a fight. But if you have to fight, you have to fight. I was with the pastor several years ago, and for many, many years, went right down the line, King James Bible, good music, good standards, everything. He went to a conference out in California. I won't tell you where, okay, but you can guess. He came back and changed everything in his church. Everything. He was 62 years old. I said to him, why in the world did you do this? Listen to him. I just got tired fighting. I said, wait a minute. When God called us to preach, he didn't put us into Boy Scouts. He likened us to soldiers. And soldiers, when they have to, they don't necessarily want to fight. But when they have to, they fight. I have fought a good fight. Choose your battles, but realize we're in a battle. Then he said, I have finished my course. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, I have finished the race. No. I have finished my course. I've finished my part of the race. It's like into a relay race. Now, I'm turning the baton over to somebody else, and you run your part. And someone has well said, in the ministry, there is no success without a successor. And if you do not believe that, look at some of the great days of yesterday, churches of yesterday, and today they are nothing because they did not have a successor. And we must work with, we must train, we must depend on young people to come behind us and do after we have left. I finished my course. And then he said, I've kept the faith, the body of faith, the great body of faith that's included in the 66 canonized books of the Bible. And I believe that's what Paul was talking about. You say it wasn't canonized by that time, but God, the Holy Spirit, knew it was going to be. Amen. I have kept the faith. I've been true. Now listen. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous God, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also which love his appearing. Then listen. Listen to Paul. It's his last words. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. You know what he's saying? Hey, Timothy, I need you. It is not a sign of weakness to let people know that you need them. We do need one another. Okay, Timmy, I need you. I need you. Then he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Oh, God forbid that any of us would be Demas's. Demas didn't commit adultery. Demas didn't murder anybody. He just got too close to the world, and the first thing you knew, he was out of the ministry. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Luke is with me. That's great. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. God didn't remove the thorn in the flesh, but he gave him a physician to travel with him. That's pretty good, amen? And he did. Luke joined the team, traveled with him. Okay. He said, Luke is with me. And then he said, take Mark and bring him with thee. You want Mark? Don't you remember what you said about Mark? Yeah, I was wrong. I should have been a little more patient with Mark. Okay. But bring him. He's profitable to me for the ministry. And then he said, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus when thou comest, bring with me, and the books, but especially the parchment. Listen to him. He didn't have much longer to live. He said, bring me my books. Books? Why in the world you want to read? Your life is just about over. But he's saying, I want to live till I die. And by the way, when you quit learning, you start dying. He said, I want my books. I want my books. I don't know all the kind of books he's talking about. But he said, I want my books. I want my books. Hey, preacher, keep studying. Stretch yourself. Keep learning. Even as old as I am, I read constantly, okay? Bring my books. But then he said, but especially the parchment. He said, now I got a lot of books I like, but I don't judge this book by any of those books. I judge all those books by this book, okay? Bring me the parchment, Timothy. And then he exercises his faith in the faithfulness of God. I close with this. Alexander the coppersmith, I love this statement, okay? Listen to it. It's kind of atypical for Paul, okay? Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his word. I'm not going to try to keep weaving with him, okay? But I do pray the Lord reward him, all right, okay? Look at verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me. And the Lord shall deliver me. Hey, you know what Paul's saying? There are some times when there is nobody in the world that can help you. No person. But there's never a time when he cannot. You've had those days. If you haven't, you will have them. And he will deliver me. A lawyer came one day to Jesus and said, Jesus, what is the great commandment? What's the great commandment? You remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is likened to that, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Wow. In other words, he said, if you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and you love your neighbors as yourself, you're not going to commit adultery with your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's husband. Okay. You're not going to steal from them. You're not going to kill them for sure. Amen. You know what he's saying? Most important thing in all the world is love. So here's how you finish strong. Stay in love with the Lord. Do you ever just tell Jesus that you love him? You've heard the old story about the man that took his wife to a psychiatrist and they were trying to get some things straightened up. And the psychiatrist went over and picked up the wife, gave her a big hug and a kiss. Said, now that's what she needs about 3 times a week. And the fellow said, okay, I'll bring her in on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Now, if we're not careful, we say, good night. He knows I love him. But don't you think he'd like to hear that occasionally? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Love it. Hey, stay in love with the Lord. Stay in love with the Lord's work. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In other words, Don't give up. Don't quit. Stay in love with the Lord's work. You remember how you loved to preach when you first got started? Man, I never will forget. I surrendered to preach on Thursday night. It was Thanksgiving. And Brother Jones said, okay, you can preach next Wednesday. I thought, well, I surrendered to preach, but I didn't want to preach that soon, okay? I have no idea what I preached. Thank God they didn't have recorders back in those days. I tell you a little story. I never will forget the first time I preached out in another church. And they gave me a check. And I thought, good night, I'm working. I don't need a check. And I took that check and I signed it. And I gave it to my preacher. I said, preacher, you know, they gave me a check for preaching over at State Street. And I gave that check to him. Now, I learned better than that, okay? But I mean, you know, you just it's a stay in love with the work of God. Stay in love with God's people. For some reason, a lot of people get the big idea that my job is to run my people down. That is not your job, folks. I've been in places and they say, rip our face off. And I said, you know, I don't have a single sermon to rip people's face off. No. Stay in love with your people. You say, well, it's kind of hard to soar with the eagles when you have to live with the buzzards. Okay? No. Hey, you stay in love with the people that God's given you. Huh? Stay in love with your people. Stay in love with the Lord's church. God's plan for evangelizing the world is the local church. Stay in love with your church. Hey, by the way, fellas. By the way, girls. Stay in love with your mate. Keep the honey and the honeymoon. Don't ever take them for granted. Don't ever compare them with somebody else. How are you going to stand in the ministry? You say, what does that have to do with the ministry? Everything. If you lose your home, you've lost your ministry. Stay in love with your children. You say, good night, my children do all kind of bad things. You remember when you were a child? Love your children. Children are a heritage of the Lord. That's the reason. For the life of me, I cannot understand what people would take the life of a little baby that's nearly ready to be born. Stay in love with your children. You can, and I can, finish strong. You say, how do you know? Jesus did. He said, it's finished. I've done everything my Father sent me. Oh, you say, yeah, but he was God incarnated in the flesh. But he was also human. By the way, Paul did. You can relate to him. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners, and I got saved. And he finished well. Don't quit. Don't fail. And anytime you're tempted, and the devil will say to you, hey, if you don't do this, look what you're going to miss. I dare you to say to the devil, if I do that, look what I'm going to miss. I'm going to miss the respect and the love of my wife and my children and my church. And I'm going to embarrass my God. And let's pray by the grace of God that all of us will finish strong. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you've not only told us what we need to do, but through the Holy Spirit-led writing of the Apostle Paul, you have told us how we can finish well. Lord, we have feet of clay. And if we finish strong, it'll be because of your grace. We're saved by grace, we serve by grace, we walk by grace, we live by grace. And when it comes our time to die, then we can die by grace. And dear Lord, I pray that you'll use your word to bless our hearts. Help us all to love you and serve you, to love one another. I pray, dear Lord, for the young people tonight. I pray, dear Lord, that you would keep them pure. I pray, dear Lord, that you would keep them close to you. And I pray, as Dr. Mike preached last night, that they will come to realization of a personal God that is their God and not just their parents' God. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for letting me see my family saved after I got saved. And thank you, dear Lord, for letting me be used. There's nothing in the world like being used of you. Dear Lord, please use us for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name I pray.